very low barrier to get into the Gronk Squad.
That's crazy.
We've committed to do the Daily Talk Show for 10 years.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Put it in the calendar.
That one is.
I'd just like to check the temperature in the room.
I told you my squeegee story.
It is outrageous.
Come on, let's go. It's the Daily Talk Show episode 1019.
It is the Tommy and Josh Show. The Daily Talk Show.
Well, so the joke is that the Fox, which is a radio station that I worked at, 101.9, the Fox, interesting fact, once when I weighed 101.9, I took a photo of my scales and later found out that when I sent it around to everyone, it had my cock reflecting because I was obviously nude when I was doing that.
Which was clearly where all the weight was coming from because it wears yards.
Thank you. Hey, yeah, thanks, CJ.
Thanks for the compliment on the huge cock.
I've just got a hot water bottle, which is Jess's.
Yeah.
We've got a shoot tomorrow that requires it of us.
No, I think Jess actually got that for herself.
Really? Is this, did we get another one for as a prop?
The client's bringing them, but Jess is inspired because she's got hot water bottles on the mind.
Well, I was going to say, at my house, it's got two stories and the heater works very well upstairs, doesn't work as well downstairs. And
it's all going upstairs.
Yeah, but I've been thinking a lot about temperature and whether we want to like sleep upstairs or downstairs. The idea of being warm whilst you sleep, I'm trying to work out whether that's something that I want so I can be cozy or whether I actually have night terrors.
It's too annoying if it's too, like if it's too hot.
Mm-hmm.
Most, if, like we end up having the aircon on in the lounge room pushing through that comes into our bedroom. If that's on all night, it's stuffy as hell.
Like, I think this could be a good scenario, like a good solution is the hot water bottle. And I was asking you, where did the hot water bottles, like where did they go?
I mean, they were around when we were young a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll have you that. I remember there were, the classic kind of crusty tip on it.
Talking about yourself again.
Turning the crusty tip hot.
I actually don't understand the crusty tip.
So, because of the rubber, the older they got, I just remember, and if you're with me, it's bringing back childhood memories, like of an old water bottle that you'd tighten up and it might just be kind of cracking a little bit. They were very big when we were young. We had probably maybe three or four in the house. And then it moved to wheat bags.
I was going to say, I feel like that has replaced the hot water bottle.
Dude, it's, if you think about it, having the chance of it opening up, which I've never had it, but you don't want it to sort of spill out any hot liquid.
Yeah.
But there is something nice. It's like a heater versus an old fire, like inside. There is something that is, it is the potbelly stove of the heater systems.
And so you think this is more premium than a...
That's old school, like a fire in a house. Yeah. And the
with the danger.
Wheat bag is AC, like a unit split system.
I feel like the heat bags, the wheat bags tend to hold more moisture or something. Like I've felt that sometimes it can feel a little.
I know what you mean. Moist. The way a microwave has to work is through heating up any liquid that is remaining.
And so the idea with this is this a kettle, like a hot water kettle situation where you put water in
that
way?
Yes, mate. Okay. Well, you how you fill up a hot water bottle?
Yes. I didn't know kettle. Whether no one's putting them in microwaves.
Oh, no.
You can see why you'd think
Dude,
that.
Rubber. I had an ex-girlfriend many years ago and I went to her place and her sister had taken the kettle, put it onto the stove, turned it on, the flames, it wasn't meant for the stove.
Just melted the bottom.
It wasn't meant for the fucking stove. It was a plastic bottom and it's just, I just remember saying, I was like, what the fuck happened here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my sister put it on the stove. Like that's a bit of a moment, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a girl on Instagram Reels and she's got a, that's the only reference I have.
Jesus.
Also, shout out to all the-
What's your screen time at the moment, baby?
Oh, it's-
Just don't be fucking-
It'll probably just send me a link to Lifeline, I reckon, if I had a look. Have a look. I've noticed that a lot lately, all the documentaries I've been watching, you've gotten dark when-
they go to Lifeline.
Lifeline thing at the start of every single- It's must be a binge thing.
Yeah, no big deal.
Let's have a look.
relationship.
Let's have a look at yesterday's screen time.
Why that was?
Because that was all time, that was in like, a hole. Yeah,
yeah. Really?
It was a good one where it's like Bree went out doing stuff with a friend.
Yeah,
and then I just scrolled.
Oh, took your pants off.
Yeah, I got to the point where Instagram was showing me reels I'd already seen. It's almost like a test. I think they were testing me because
like they love people using their platform, but they were concerned about your consumption. So what was it?
7 hours and 11 minutes yesterday.
Yesterday, okay. Yesterday, I went onto my Qantas app because I want to go to Queensland later in the year. My brother's going up with his family. My mum's going up with dad. And so, we're like, oh, this is great. Points can get you really far now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seems.
Is that real?
Yeah. Like, 100,000 points got my brother to, and two kids, two adults return or something crazy. Yeah, and he pays a little bit. Anyway, I was like, fuck, I have like 40 to 50,000 Qantas points. I jumped on. I'm like, where the fuck are they?
They gave them to your dad? No.
They expired 1st of May.
Oh, that's annoying.
Did you contact them? I can get those back. Like, haven't been able to fly in a year. There was like a year off for most people. And then, do you think I could get them back? Do you think I could call up and say, look, I was just about to book our family, my wife's, you know, just
create a
say
story.
Things.
Yeah.
Say don't things. Lie. Yeah. I don't want to lie. I don't want to make up anything, but I'm just like, my wife's, just say lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
Business, you know, podcast is done.
like, mate, you.
Sorry, this is not Lifeline.
Yeah, this is Qantas. They could also say that.
Throw us a Lifeline, I'll say that.
They've probably had a hard 12 months anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, this is just numbers in a computer that have.
Well, flights are cheap in general. That's the other part of it.
True, but I've.
No, cheaper than points.
Only way you get points usually is by spending money or having someone give them to you, like your mum, which mum gave them to me. She's pissed.
Because they expired. So George is off today. Everyone will be here on Friday celebrating the last episode. Jess and GB.
Jess is here. Hi, Jess.
She's waiting. Hey, Jess.
She's smiling.
So George said he would get us something, a team gift from Australia Post.
Which, you know, Australia Post is going to send your family member who lives in the UK, and there's a bunch of these little knickknacks that you could easily whack into a box and post it from there. So you can almost decide on the present as you get to the post office, and George has done that today.
Yeah.
It was a great idea, to be honest.
I thought it was going to be food related.
Well, that's because you're hungry, and so was I. Yeah. I asked that exact same thing. No, but I just want a sweet.
So what he's gotten us is just as passing over pineapple. I won't have the pineapple. It's a made in China extendable massage roller. This is
That's fucking good.
There's some tight backs in the office.
Great that you can extend it and pass it to me.
There you go. That's just gonna do and try it on Jess's back.
Here you go. Jess will come in. Shot. Can you?
Jess, are you happy?
Bit flimsy, and as you push in hard, it collapses back in.
Not good.
She's looking a bit annoyed. She's looking a bit pissed off.
Thanks, George. That's really another thing that we need to get rid of.
No, Amy, this could be good for Amy because she's not that it was for her. But, you know, it's a fair bit of effort.
Mm-hmm.
A fair bit of effort on this one. Ah, cramped. Cramped in the back of my shoulder,
thanks, George.
Which I can't get. Was there anything else or was that it?
That was it.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was going one each.
No, one for the whole team.
Oh, this is good.
But thanks, JB.
No, I love it, George.
Mm-hmm.
Last night we went out for dinner.
Did you?
On the way home from my mum's place, and thinking, let's go to the pancake parlor.
Oh, that is actually really good. We could eat. That would be fun to go do as a team.
It's I mean, you have sort of nostalgic memories of these places. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah,
it was okay. It was okay. I mean, pancakes are very low cost food to create anyway at home. Mm-hmm. But it is nice to sort of get all the, like I was thinking, all the pancakes are the same. Are they doing this in a, do they have like a machine doing this now? Have they outsourced? Well,
were you buying the business, were you?
Well, I asked for a P&L and they said,
show you yours. I'll show you theirs.
Absolutely not. No. But Bodhi's been, he's quite clever at the moment. He's doing some little rhymes and he's quite funny. It's nice.
I'm just trying to imagine it. Were you in a booth?
Yeah, we did have a booth. And before we got into the restaurant, Bodhi said, are we going to a Kanye Westron?
Oh, that is funny.
Kanye West.
Yeah,
Kanye
yeah.
Westron.
Do you think he knows what he's doing?
He knows what he's doing. He did another one. I forgot it. It was funny as shit. And he's trying to take... It's quite clever, I thought. Yeah. Kanye Westron.
I think he would... I could imagine him being a slam poet.
I think he'll be... I think he might have something to do with music.
Oh, really?
Well, I feel like he's going to be an NCAT kid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Northern College of Arts and Technology. Uh-huh. You know, just like he's left-handed.
I don't know if that's a prerequisite,
no,
but yeah.
No.
Creativity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's quite good with beats,
mm-hmm.
you know, loves rhyming, loves music. I mean, most kids do, but he's really into sort of beat heavy music.
Yeah, that would be fun. What could you do to promote it?
What?
To promote? No, as in like doing Insta stories to promote his thing, but as in like, how do you encourage, what about things with,
Yeah, you're buying him like a
percussion, like some sort of drum kit or something.
I mean, I want to go straight to the kick pads and the mm-hmm. electronic pads mm-hmm. for the music. But then, I mean, it's hard because then it's George was into this kind of stuff and he bought a system.
Well, I wanted to play guitar as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
When I was 5 years old, my teacher, Mr. Danson, when he would play the guitar when I was in prep, I started bringing in my brother's guitar and I would just like strum along in the background. The teacher could play, I couldn't. And I said I wanted to play and they said that my hands were too small because I was like a little kid. And so they said, you know what, you could play is keyboard.
Keyboard's
good. I was just never really passionate about it.
So you've blamed keyboard. Your non- guitar playing on Mr. Danson.
No, Mr. Danson encouraged me. Like he was, he also.
Who tells a fucking kid that?
Well, yeah, like I think they were just trying to be nice, but they're like, yeah, they're like little hands. Like, what do you expect? I'm fucking 5 years old. I have like decent. Like, it's not like I've got like average hands now. Don't you think?
Well, I don't think you got small hands.
Thanks.
You get. I mean, yeah.
It's just standard.
No one who saw that photo of the 101.9 thinks that you got small hands. Telling kids stuff is can be tough. It's whether you do it or not, whether you tell a kid that they're going to be able to play guitar or not. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the advantage of saying no? We got an email on the weekend. We got a screenshot. It's a bit of insight. We got a screenshot of an email that came through to a parent at the primary school that we used to go to. And
screenshot from a parent. Like, so the school.
I've got a friend who's got kids at my primary, the primary school my brother and I went to. And so he gets emails and stuff. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? One of the teachers passed away, died. And this was one of the teachers that taught my brother. Mm. And she was still teaching a class. And she's passed away. But I was thinking, like, think about. Did you ever have a teacher pass away while you're in school? Like, imagine your teacher.
Yeah.
Like, it is your, you're thinking, I'm coming back here and I'm going to see, you know, Mrs. Goddard. That was a teacher I hated, so I'll use her name. Mrs. Goddard, it wasn't her that passed away. What does the school do at that point? How do you tell?
Mr. Don passed away.
And so this was while you're at school. Mm-hmm. How old was Mr. Don?
He would have been in his 60s.
Dude.
He had, is it narcolepsy?
Sleeping.
Falling asleep. Lovely. Like had
Did you see him fall asleep?
I never had him as a teacher, but he was I was part of the astronomy club and the chess club, and he ran those. And I remember one of the darkest jokes I ever made, and I still feel bad about it, but it was on open night just after he passed away.
On stage?
No. This was just to someone. I remember them being like, oh, too far, man. But someone was rolling a skeleton in the science thing. I said, oh, they've brought Mr. Don to open night, which has the mechanics of a good joke. But after someone's just passed away,
you're ahead of your time. But
I think I won a Mr. Don award, which is not a good look given that joke. But he was a really nice, caring teacher. My brother James, who listens to the show, Mr. Don, I think, was his teacher.
And do you remember them telling the kids about it and what's happened? And
yeah, I feel like there was some sort of ceremony. Like they did all that sort of thing. Yeah, but I mean, trauma, like, or like crazy things like that happening at school.
With a kid, with kids and managing emotions, I mean, you can't, like, without not, so how do you, like, you can't not tell the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be, there's, you just worry that there's not going to be honesty. It's like, oh, they've gone to a better place or, you know,
no, for young we were like, kids. Oh, so it was high school, like year eight.
Yeah. I mean, these kids are grade one, dude.
Yeah.
They're grade one.
Yeah,
teacher.
That's very hard.
So hard.
And so what do they do?
I don't know. They just, maybe that's why. So that email that we saw and it was passed on to us because he thought, fuck, these guys would want to know their teacher.
Yeah.
And we saw it. And maybe that's so that email was sent out to the school, to the teachers, or to all the parents.
Yeah.
So maybe they're hoping the parents do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're giving the option to the parents to do it first. Which I just thought it was a bit of a tricky one, which you don't, I mean, it's death happens all the time.
Well, there's a guy, like, because I don't know anything about NRL, but I know Trev Long was talking about, like, one of his mates, Bozo, passed away. Don't know anything about
this
it.
This was very recent.
Yeah, it was on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was some of his friends found out, like, whilst they were live air.
I saw the clickbait article for it. Did you watch
it? Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. And it is shocking. Like, it is shocking. Imagine being in a live broadcast and then having in your ear an auto cue or whatever, like, your mate has passed away now.
What's happened? What was the reaction?
They were like, like, fucked up. Like, imagine, yeah, you find out someone passed away and then you've just got to, like, talk about, like, the guy who seemed closest was like, I literally saw him at the Woolworths 2 months ago and we're chatting and, like, you know.
Mm.
But it's so interesting seeing how everyone, like, it's a very bizarre thing. Think about how personal responding to something like that is. And then think about doing it on live TV.
Oh, fuck that, dude. If they're actually your close friend, you don't want to be in that position.
No.
I'd just be like, sorry, I've got to go.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's something in the professionalism that is numbing the acceptance of it, which is getting you through it. But then you don't have to do that either.
What do you think about you having some more pineapple? Don't mind. It's quite it is a good pineapple. And you're putting it back into the container that we're all sharing.
Into the corner.
Parenting. Heard someone say, you know, thing with parenting, you just got to be honest. The kid asked how babies are born. So they explain the whole thing.
Yeah.
Thoughts with when it comes to death and that type of thing.
Bodhi's really, he's been curious.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't know to the extent of their understanding of death.
Mm-hmm.
So they can, because we don't know what happens. So
you speak for yourself. I've got it all dialed in.
No, but if what happens after death, no one knows. I mean, if you're highly religious, there's good story to sort of wrap around it when you're telling your kids.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're trying to answer honestly about it's life stopping. And so how do you go? It's a tricky area. Mm-hmm. So you have to, I don't have a baked in answer, but it's about what is asked.
I guess
so
it's,
if you can be answering what is asked,
then you can
sort of, what happens? We don't know, but everyone passes away. And we're talking about, Bodhi was asking my mum about her dad and something like that. And mum was then talking about that. And then Bodhi's talking to us about death.
Mm-hmm.
It really was on his mind a bit, which is, it's bizarre.
Does he like news?
What do you mean?
Like, I liked news growing up.
He's four. You like news at four?
Yeah.
Fuck, you're a weird dude.
Yeah, no, news, cooking shows.
I don't know if it was four, dude. I don't know if it's four.
Yeah, I love news. I wish I could guarantee it, but I
don't think it's like, if you think about Bodhi now, he loves cartoon. Like, they just want the stimulus.
Wasn't a real cartoon kid. Like, if a friend came over and put on Cartoon Network, I was like, grow up.
Dude, I tell you what, if I show Bodhi a photo of Donald Trump and say, who is this? Donald Trump.
Oh, really?
Who's this? Kanye West. And who's this? That's Sam Harris, meditation man.
Oh, really? He knows who Sam Harris is.
No joke.
Oh, that's big.
He knows all these things.
Mm-hmm.
He's so observant.
Yeah.
They pick out, they're just little sponges.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, like when you are around, like think about the people that are close to you and the things that they end up learning just because they're close to you. Yeah, but yeah. If they weren't, like Brie with golf. Oh, yeah. People at her work thought that she'd play because she's just, all of her stories are golf stories.
Bodhi was playing with Jessie, a doll from Woody, from Toy Story.
Toy Story, yeah, yeah.
And he said, Jessie, like Jessie Lucas.
That's cute.
So he's got Jessica Lucas on the brain.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking on Sunday, I got a couple of nice messages, people saying, enjoy your last week of doing the show. It is quite strange, isn't it?
Mm.
It doesn't feel like, it's like GB talking about, oh, you know, did you think that when you did 1,000 episodes, you'd get to the shops and you'd sort of be inundated with people wanting your autograph? That's not why we did it. I'm fucking glad it's not the reason we did it.
Well, it would be more annoying because we didn't achieve that.
Exactly.
But we were once at an airport and we're walking along and a guy was listening, I think, to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And we
recognized Mr. 97, which is annoying.
Which is more annoying. And then stopped and we spoke to him. Mm-hmm. Lovely guy.
Yeah.
Lovely guy.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah. But no, it does feel strange to think that on Friday and tomorrow we've got a big shoot day.
Big shoot day.
So we'll end up doing the show at 5:30 PM. You know, things of this sounds like something Bodhi would do. Just repeat. Does he copy you?
Does he copy you? No, we have fun doing it to each other. Sometimes I want to hear his voice if he's like mm-hmm. a little cough, or I want to hear him speak or something. Mm-hmm. I want to hear, like, if I'm trying to listen for a wheeze, but then he loves getting into the copy mode.
Well, George was doing something the other day where he was listening to an edit through his headphones. He'd press play and then just speak what the person was saying.
Oh, that's fun.
Very hard to do. Very, very hard to do.
Yeah. There was a trick, not a trick, a thing that I did in a TV presenting course where mm-hmm. we had an earpiece in and we were told that exact thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? So you have to hear it, but you need to try and say it just as it's being said. So if you want to try it, you can feed me some lines and I've got to say it just as it's coming through.
I'm shocking at that. Okay, you ready?
Okay, you ready?
If I was to go anywhere on a holiday, it would have to be Tasmania.
Tasmania.
It's actually more distracting for me. Can you try and I'll try?
Once I was a rabbit. But once I was not.
No, so is that guy, is he having a meltdown live on air? Try again. Hang on. Wait, yeah. We'll do it again. Go.
Kevin once was a small young boy. He grew up to be a beautiful, strapping young man. He once weighed in at 101.9.
So I think that was a lot better. So I think that what you need to do is not try. I was trying to almost beat you to it.
I was not thinking of you then. I literally was in my own head just doing my words. Because, yeah, like you said, when you're mm-hmm. saying it, if you're then looking at me, just try and sort of shut off.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do it again.
And you say the words and I'll do the presenting.
Okay.
Because then otherwise it's way too confusing.
Yeah. I should read something. I'll read an email from Leah. Thank you, Leah, for the lovely email. What a way of absolutely destroying a nice message.
But it's a fun thing to do. And this would be the end of the show.
Guys, a huge heartfelt congratulations on three years of fun and genuine conversations.
Have so appreciated.
I actually can't fucking do it. I need, like, no.
Let's read the email.
To be honest,
let's stop doing this dumb game that I brought to the table.
If we were doing some form of harmonizing where then I go off and do the a-doop-a-doop-bap, like do something different to what you're,
how that sometimes happens.
I would just end up saying whatever it is.
Yeah. Let's just read this kind email to finish the show and then we're out of here,
guys. Thank you, Leah. Leah says, sorry, just a little cough. Have so appreciated your daily discussions in my ears and, like everyone, have learned new things from your insightful chats with guests too. Highlights. Your live in front audience chat with Ryan Shelton.
Oh, that was for...
Yeah.
The her husband, bushfire relief.
Her and Russ were in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
For the bushfire fundraiser, enjoyed the vulnerable chat immensely. Our Zoe Foster Blake episode, so different to everyone else's interviews with her and a really authentic chat. Mason's love story with listener Grace, the way you've made an effort to know and include your audience. And she said, as this is your last week and you asked for suggestions, a suggestion from me is to play an emotional recall game that I play with students in small groups.
She's a teacher.
Yep. Yes. Leah's been on the show.
Yep.
If you want me to come in and drop off emotion card game, let me know. It's basically a memory prompt thing. Sounds like post-traumatic stress, to be honest, Leah.
Yeah.
Cards laid out on a table with different emotions displayed. Yep. And then it's just, tell us about a time over the last 3 years when you felt
sad, happy,
yeah,
angry,
confused, brave, disappointed. And it would be a nice way to reflect on what you've been through and achieved and how you felt throughout the process. Sounds woo-woo, but definitely not, promise.
It's not woo-woo.
That way. Thank you so much. She goes on, thanks for all you've done to keep your audience thinking and keeping us company.
Great.
It's been a wonderful journey to observe, and I'm so grateful for your generosity in sharing yourselves and your lives with us. Much love from longtime Gronk, Leah.
That's lovely. Thank you, Leah. There's a great... so good that these young kids... I mean, I don't remember learning this stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just not taught in our curriculum, or I just don't remember. But the Hugh Van Berg
at the end. Ryan Shelton's mate.
Ryan Shelton does a podcast.
The Resilience Project.
Yep. And so they integrating their teachings into Bodhi's daycare.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Bodhi comes home and he shows us this booklet. Oh no, we open this booklet and there's like all these colours with these labels on them, and he just hits every one of them. Knows it off by heart. Mm. Sad, angry, happy, emotion. Like, I was like, how do you know this shit? So good. I mean, the kid can do Welcome to Country.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what Remember We Learned. It's not Welcome to Country. It's Acknowledgement of Country.
The kid can do Acknowledgement of Country.
Yeah.
But does he know that, Josh?
Yeah. I mean, I do wonder if it's, like, you know, you think about like your parents. Feel like maybe less your parents because your mum's into all the yoga and meditation. But I feel like for the majority of the population, it feels like each generation, they learn a little bit more about emotional intelligence or understanding about your feelings.
Mm.
I wonder if Bodhi in 15 years' time will be coaching you through some sort of, like he'll be saying, what's your biggest challenge? And you'll be... fucking fuming.
Young Bungay Stania. Like,
yeah. Just, mate, let me fucking change the oil on the car.
Maybe. I hope so. That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. You hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's
great.
But then he has to go through puberty, which can fucking throw a spanner in the works.
Yeah. Get real angry, real punchy.
You know, just real closed off, real pimply. Just not up for much.
Yeah.
That was me. But you can come out the other side. I think that's where it's teaching a child, think about the environment you're in. The fact that I didn't give a fuck about meditation as a kid, but now I'm really into it. But then is that based on me acknowledging mum doing it, seeing her and doing prayer as a kid with mum? And like Bodhi, Amy and I do little prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily like based on teachings from the Bible, but it's Bodhi. We get him to do it, and he says, I love my mummy. I'm so thankful. Like he's being grateful. Mention? Yeah, I got to mention. But something like, I love my monster truck. I can't. Mm-hmm. But he's just having a moment where he's being thankful.
Yeah, that's nice.
There's many moments he's not thankful, and it doesn't make up for it. No.
Hi, thedailytalkshow.com. If you want to send us an email, we got a bunch to read out over the next few days. So we'll do that. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your Monday, guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys.